Dramatica Uses Group Analysis of Eat, Drink, Man, Woman, held on August 14th, 2007, led by Chris Huntley.
Tonight's movie was Eat, Drink, Man, Woman by Ang Lee, and it's a Chinese film, I guess, made in Taipei.
Taiwanese?
Yeah. Taipei is the capital of Taiwan. But yeah. I don't want to get into which China that is.
Are we on?
We are. So what I did is I've written up here at least the four principal characters in the story and a couple of others. The father is Master Chef Chu, and the eldest sister, we believe, who's the chemistry teacher, is Jia Jen. And I think we probably should just refer to them by their...
Teacher.
Yeah, as the teacher.
Well, I think of her as the Christian.
Okay, Christian, yeah. That's fine too. And then there's Jia Qian, which is the airline exec, Jia Ning, which is the student, and then...
And the Wendy's employee.
Or whatever, yeah, it looks like.
That's Wendy's.
Oh, was Wendy's? Oh, really was Wendy's. Oh.
Yeah, it was just the menu was in Chinese.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess that's true, yeah.
Yeah, okay. She was in Wendy's.
So let's identify the four through lines. Start with the overall story through line, because I think that will be the closest thing to the easiest we can do. The rest will be interesting. So, anybody? What is it thematically? What is it exploring thematically?
Well, what it's about is a family where everyone's kind of trying to figure out what to do with their lives. And, you know, the three daughters are kind of trying to figure out how they can, you know, find a husband, move out, you know, strike out on their own. The father is trying to figure out...
Same thing.
Whether or not to retire, yeah.
Well, it's all about leaving the family. Yeah. Every one of them is concerned with leaving the family. Even the father is concerned about leaving the family. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So...
Well, of course, yeah, and then we get the reveal at the end.
Right. Remember, when we're answering these questions, it's about what's really going on, not what we know as the audience. So we know that he's been thinking the entire time, how do I leave? How do I end this family, you know, me living with my three daughters? And each of the daughters are thinking, how do I leave the family?
I think a really another close second topic to leaving is just, you know, they bring it up several times, is how do we communicate? And this family only communicates through eating. You know, the communication in all of the different relationships was a big issue. Lack of it. Mm-hmm. Lack of communication.
Or just the sort of complicated, baggage-filled, you know,
Everything it was either not said it needed to be, or said when it shouldn't have been, or a lie, or, you know, the letters and the whole thing. It's just communication was a big part of the whole movie, I thought.
Right. There was a big, big focus on communication and relationships everywhere. So that would
and
make
desires.
It...
desires.
That would make it sort of the big, big picture stuff. Okay. Now, let's just talk a little bit about main characters.
Oh, dear.
Who might be potential?
The airline executive.
Airline executive, right?
Yeah, I think
okay.
Yeah.
And why her? Period. Question mark. Whatever.
It just seems like we get more of a insight into her personal problems.
And what would those be?
The whole thing with the negotiator. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. Her huge problem is that she's stuck in a job that she didn't want to do. Like, she wanted to cook and be like her dad, but her dad said, I think he said women can't make good cooks.
Right.
Yeah. So she's like, that's her baggage of what she's dealing with.
Okay.
And you feel most empathetic with her at the moment when you realize that everyone has somebody except her.
Yeah, right.
That's the moment I think it came home that she was the main character, that we were feeling her feelings.
Yeah, and she seemed to like get ready to have a life, and then somebody else would do something in the family, and then she'd have to kind of hunt. and then she'd get ready to get clear, and then somebody else would do, you know, so she kind of got left with the shortest stick, almost, is what it felt like to me. Like, I mean, not really, but you know what I'm saying?
Right, yeah, right.
She got left with the last choice, sort of, what it felt like.
Okay.
Even though it turned out to be a good one for her.
How about the impact character, then?
Her dad.
I think it would be her dad.
All right. Is everybody okay with that?
Well, let's see. Is he the one that made her change the most?
We don't know who's changed.
But I think
one of them's going to change. One's going to remain steadfast, and we'll see if that
the
fits.
The one that had the most effect on her.
Right. That's forcing her to. Re-examine the baggage. Or it might be in some case responsible for the baggage, but it's the constant reminder if that's the case. So that, you know, she's got to be dealing with it. Or anything else?
Well, I mean, the whole heart of the story is that last scene. So, I mean,
They kind of change hands as to who's cooking.
Yeah, and the big heat in the story emotionally is between the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah, from the very beginning,
right?
It's like everybody's okay. The two other daughters are okay, but then she takes a bite and
it's too salty.
What's wrong with it this time? Sort of thing. She mm-hmm. always has a problem. That's
good. And then they turn it around at the end. Yeah,
where it turns out that he can taste her food because it's so strong.
Or he can taste.
He can taste, period, because he's happy now, basically.
Right, that all feeling, all enjoyment, all sensation out of life had been drained away because he was so bottled up, and now it's there. I can taste. And so the relationship between the airline exec and her father is what?
Strange.
Strange, yeah. It's father-daughter.
It kind of revolves around, you know, he is so, has such a set, well, I'm not trying to make any predictions, but such a set mindset about cooking, about whose kitchen it is, and sort of shut her out of kind of what she's
doing. So what's the relationship? That might be where he is, but what's their relationship about?
The fact that she didn't get the support from, in other words, she was not allowed to sort of be herself, express herself.
The domineering parent and the subservient child.
Yeah. It's really not subservient.
To him.
Toward him.
Remember, not as a character, but in the relationship, she's, I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, what is their relationship? I mean, obviously, it's rocky.
They're rivals, in a sense.
Well, yeah, kind of, because they're too much alike, really. But, what is the relationship between a parent?
Well, no, it could be a father-daughter relationship. That's fine. I mean, if that seems to be the fact that they are, you know, family is the single most area of conflict between them, which I think it is. If they weren't family, then they wouldn't have the kinds of troubles that they have. It's the fact that they're actually family members.
She's frustrated that she wasn't married.
And she's frustrated by the fact that her father thinks certain types of things and doesn't think that women should be doing things that, you know, she's clearly capable of doing. So, yeah, I mean, we'll see a lot of that. All right, well.
I found that interesting.
What was that?
The fact that he didn't think she could cook, but that she could be an executive in an airline.
Right, right.
Whereas here it's just the opposite. I found that so wild. I thought that was so cool. I got to move over there.
Yeah.
Why, you don't like to cook? Is that it?
Well, no, but I mean, I tell that, you know, that's so different from, you know,
absolutely.
From the old things that, you know, the woman in the kitchen, not the executive, but over there, he was, woman well, shouldn't be in the kitchen, you know, woman can't cook. But she's running a company, you know, a big Fortune 500 style company. That's cool. Mm-hmm. I think that's amazing. That's neat.
Okay. Are everybody okay with where we are so far?
Yeah.
Right.
Where's some wood? Let me knock really fast. All right. Well, then, let's get on to the dynamics. main character resolve, change, or steadfast. So we're talking about Xia Chen, the airline exec, she a change or steadfast character? And why? Yeah.
Well, I'll cheat and then I'll do the... I think for sure the father is the one that changes. I mean, that's like the whole message of the story is that father is set in his ways. There's no way she can cook. Her cooking's not... I know everything. And then at the end, he's changed and opened up to her and actually revealed emotions to her. I think somebody said, just wait, hold out for something. Eventually he'll open up to you and, you know...
Otherwise, yeah. He'll like die of stomach cancer or something.
Yeah, something like that. And but it is interesting that it wasn't that he avoided getting sick, but he got his sense of taste back.
Right.
Yeah. So I just made that.
But the idea is that all of it was concentrated in his stomach. Mm-hmm. You know, eating and you know, obviously his taste buds. But the idea, it's all sort of again, sort of food related. Mm-hmm. Great. Everybody okay with that?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Terrific. So let's go to main character approach, doer or beer. And we're talking about the exec again.
The middle daughter.
Daughter too.
She's a doer.
She's a doer, yeah. She buys the house, the apartment. I mean, she's...
What about look at in her job? Where do we see how does she?
Yeah, she's the one
presenting.
That's always presenting. She's doing.
When
she buys the apartment,
she works on
goes
Sundays,
to Amsterdam.
She causes problems with other people.
I mean, she's not just sitting waiting for something to happen. She's trying to change it.
Okay. Any other instances you can think maybe later in the film or?
At the very end, she makes the meal when I guess her father can't do it, or she takes over and starts doing it.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a little bit more like a proof. You know, at the end where you sort of see how things turned out.
She goes to Amsterdam. You know, instead of just letting, she decides, I'm going. And if you're going to get married, then I'm going. Goodbye. She's not going to sit there and pine away at the fact that now what am I going to do? You
know? Okay. I think that's, anybody have any contrary?
No.
Great. Main character problem solving style. Is she a linear thinker or a holistic thinker and why?
She's holistic. I can't remember the exact scene, but there's one scene where she pulls everything together, but it's not linear connections. And I cannot remember the exact scene, but she lists out a whole bunch of reasons why she did something, but they weren't logically connected. She's talking to the negotiator sometime.
Okay. Anybody else?
Oh, I think about how she knew...
That her
didn't she figure
her
out
sister.
Some way to save money somehow? She had some successful report or some analysis that she had done, and he said, well, how did you figure that out? And
right, because her coworker and boss are very linear.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't remember, but it just stood out to me like, oh, that's a huge, perfect example of it. I wish I knew that.
The other one was how she put the brother, him and the sister together.
That was intuitive.
Yeah.
Sister made everything
up. The sister and him, the guy.
Which guy?
Sister.
The guy who she thought broke her
sister's heart.
Her older sister's heart, okay.
Oh.
Which he was that guy, though. It's just that the sister was making it up. But she heard, this college chemistry went to the United States during this period of time and bing, boom, the same person.
Okay.
So that becomes holistic to think that way?
Right. In other words, a linear thinker will literally follow steps or look for cause and effect, whereas a holistic thinker will try to find out connections between things, relationships between things, try to find balance or find out where imbalance is coming from.
An interesting moment is when they're starting to get it on, they're on the floor, and she says, say my name, just say my name out loud, you know, make the connection, you know, she's trying to get him to make a holistic connection
right.
there,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
But she doesn't have all the information, but that was her approach.
That's That's a good example.
She's trying to make him think of the name, yeah.
Create an association. So.
Yeah. All right, story driver, action or decision?
What was the first thing that happened in the story? I don't know. Was it cooking?
Well, okay, there's three, okay, it seems like there's okay, it seems like the story was structured in a way so that all the key events happen at Sunday dinner and an announcement is made. So the first announcement is
about the apartment.
Right, it's about buying the apartment, right.
It's about what?
The first announcement, I bought the apartment.
So I'm moving out.
The girl.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And then the next key announcement is... she's pregnant. The youngest is pregnant, right? And then, I got married.
I got married.
And then I'm getting married to,
I've decided to sell the house.
The house, yeah.
Yeah.
Action.
Well, those would be decisions, right? Or are you talking, looking at his decisions or actions?
I'm just thinking that seems to be how it's framed. That's, if you're looking at signposts, it seems to be the
it's
announcements.
The table. It's the dinner table.
And the final action was that he could taste.
Yeah.
And then he opened up to her.
It was the dinner table. Right. But the story, the story driver is what? The action. She bought the apartment. Doesn't it start there?
But it's almost the other way around. It's those decisions force other people to take action.
I mean, okay, well...
Isn't it, here's the question, even though obviously it was not in English, but imagine when, at the dinner table, they had prefaced what they said was, I've made a decision, mm-hmm. I bought an apartment in the place that everybody told me not to buy an apartment. Or, I mean, I'm pregnant. Or I'm marrying, and I'm moving, or whatever. I mean, is it the action itself or the announcement of the intent behind the action?
Well, the thing is, she got pregnant. That's an action, but that's not what changes things. It's the decision to go off with the boy,
right?
That changes.
And when we get down to figure out what the goal is, we'll be able to see. If we can figure out what the goal is, then we can see, okay, well, how is it started off and how is it wrapped up? Was it an action or a decision? So let's just hold off on answering that momentarily.
Okay.
So because in this instance, they're so tied together, and I don't want to, there's no need to make that choice yet. We can, but let's just hold off. Story limit?
Can I just ask a general question about that before we move on?
Of course.
If you have a story that is taking place in different time zones or different realities or whatever, and one seems to be kind of like the backdrop for the other, not a subplot, but like a behind the scenes, and the actual decisions start there, but the action in the movie starts in the other reality, how do you know which place to make the beginning?
What's causing it?
If people here to make a decision, but they acted out over here.
Doesn't matter. It's in your story,
where does the movie start?
No. Forget the movie.
Okay.
And what's really going on? Okay.
Uh-huh.
So let's say we have, now is this a time travel thing?
No, it's not traveling in time. It's simultaneous time, but it's just like different realities, but...
One is more
encompassing than the other.
But they, okay, I'm do they cross, they affect one another?
Yes.
So the decision that is made in the past affects the present
right.
in your story. It's almost like parallel times.
Okay.
That's a question. Okay.
No, it is. But we were having a discussion, is it action-driven or decision-driven? If the decision is made in the background reality, but the action takes place in this reality, and that's kind of where the story seems to start.
Well, let's ask, I'll ask you, what's the goal? What's going
to
wrap it up?
The goal is to carry out the decision to carry out the plan successfully.
So it's the decision, once the decision to carry it out successfully is made, the story's over.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter, you don't even need to show it being carried out because it's, they have to sort of like we have to get to this point where we can make a decision. And once we've made a decision, everything else is just that we know where it's all going. But it's the decision to do it that wraps the story up. Kind of like in the verdict. They have a verdict. You don't need to even know what happens after. What, you know.
You can have a little sort of a resolve thing, but the decision's the key thing, right?
Well, then you've answered your own question. You said basically it's a decision story.
Well,
because
that's what I thought, but, you know.
Okay. Well, we had this debate.
We're still having it.
Well, let me tell you.
I can be on either side of the fence with it.
Well, though, that's the point.
This might not be the right.
No, but that's the point. You can be on either side of the fence. You need to get off the fence and pick one. It doesn't make a difference. There is no right answer.
Oh.
The only reason there's a right answer for us is that we're looking at something that's already done.
Okay.
You're in the process of creating something.
Right.
So pick the one you want and then make it work. Make the world work that way.
Or actually do two story forms with everything else the same, but one's action one's action is one's decision, line them up. Look at the different elements that are different and see which one feels better.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're creating a story, there is no right answer except the one that you want.
Okay. But then when I heard you say that to leave that for a minute and go to the goal and then come back, and that's what you do sometimes? If
sure.
You figure that out. You go
in Dramatica, you always want to answer the questions you know best about about it first.
Okay.
I happen to follow a sort of a pattern,
uh-huh.
But that's more out of habit. Certainly, sometimes I completely jump to something different because that seems to be really obvious.
Okay.
It's always best to answer the questions you know most securely or most strongly first, because everything else needs to sort of fall in line with that.
Okay.
And in this case, we don't have to make this decision at this point, make a choice about action or decision. We can maybe find out more about what we're talking about if we look at the story outcome. But before we get to the story outcome, we're going to talk about the story limit, time lock or option lock?
Option lock.
Just three daughters.
Yeah. Four members of the
four family. Four members of the family, and basically once the last person right. has decided to leave the
family.
Leave the nest,
then story's done, yeah. And that's exactly when it's over.
Yeah. Yeah, so. they could have ended it. They actually, it's been over a decade since I didn't remember too well, but I thought, oh, was that the ending? That's a tragic ending, because I thought they were going to end it when they sort of left the one girl by herself. She's the only one who didn't have somebody and didn't have a life.
Mm-hmm.
But then they cut the black, came back, and turned that around. So she's the last option to, you know, yeah, leave
to get her act together, so to speak. Yeah. Okay.
To make her decision.
Story outcome, success or failure?
Success.
And how do we know that?
What's the
goal?
What is the goal? Good question.
I think the goal is to figure out some way of keeping the dad happy, or to, like, everybody seems most interested in, we've got to figure out some way to make sure he's well taken care of once we all move out. Since
or
mother's gone.
Keep the family
together,
but not keep the family after it's essentially physically broken apart.
Yeah, it's how do you have individuals and keep the unity,
right?
Basically, and everyone could figure out how to do the individual part, but they weren't sure how they were going to keep it together.
Right, and they do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So okay.
Well, and but in the case of two girls, that turned into a rash decision. I mean, it's just, you know. The execution of that goal varied.
Yes.
Sometimes it was rash and impulsive, and sometimes it was over a period of time and thought about.
But you also see, though, is there's a certain handing off of the role of father in the family to the daughter.
Right.
She becomes the one who is the connective tissue between all the families as opposed to him.
But
you know,
I think it was a story about each one of them being more authentic and getting by with it in the context of a family. I mean, they had to kind of break off a little bit, but they wound up all getting to be who they were, all that, including the dad. He got to be a new, different kind of guy, too.
Yep, a new dad.
A new sister.
With a new family.
Another daughter coming.
Another daughter.
All right, story judgment, good or bad, and why?
Good. Everybody felt good in the end.
But how do we know?
Well, dad, the last line was dad, daughter, right? Is that the line?
Dad is, he's accepted the situation.
Yeah, well,
he certainly, she is.
That makes it good for her.
Well, and she is back as daughter, not as whatever function that he might see her in, or, you know, her profession. Right. He sees her, it doesn't matter what, that she's cooking, she's the daughter. And she's obviously really, she's obviously content with that.
Mm-hmm. It's obvious he hasn't said that probably a really long time.
Or ever. Yes,
but,
yeah.
But, you know, she got to cook in his kitchen, and he liked her food, and she still gets to keep her job.
Okay.
I think that's definitely a good success. Good.
Mm-hmm. So, moving back then, after we do the success, we were talking about being able to successfully keep the family without it, have it survive breaking apart. Mm-hmm. So, back to action or decision. What seems to be the thing? What is the driver? What are the things that ultimately, is it a decision that is made that seems to pull that off, that wrap that up, or is it an action?
Yeah, it's almost like what you just said, just the decision to hand over the role of head of the household to the daughter.
Okay.
But I don't think he sat down and thought about that, did he?
No. It's, well, no, it's actually, I think she did that. Remember, she's decided, okay, here's what I'm going to do, and I'm coming back, and this is the, and I'm taking over. I mean, we don't see whatever, there's no particular action that we see that instigates that, but clearly she has, another way of looking at decision is deliberation. So if you want to not look at it as a point, but want to look at it more like as a process, then you can look at that as deliberation. And there's, the whole last scene is almost a deliberation that resolves the story. It's this deliberation between the two of them. You know, with the proof being in the relationship through line, the whole thing about is taste and the change in steadfast. That's where you get a lot of that. But you get the fact that, okay, everybody, we don't even see the action that everybody leaves. It's the decision that he's going to sell the house that precipitates all that action that we don't even have to see it all. So, I mean, it does seem like it's more the declarations are the things that start things off, not not a particular activity.
I mean, it felt like it was one of those things that when the moment happened, when the chief of the company came and says, well, I've picked you to be vice president, still has to be approved, I thought, okay, well, that's a decision moment, but is that a turning point? But I think the real, driver part of that is her, that sets her off into a state of deliberation for
right.
a period of time, where she has to figure out if she's going to do, if she would take it, if it was offered to her, and you know, how to kind of keep pieces together.
We'll try it with decision, and if we want, we can try it with action. But
I thought of one other example too.
Uh-huh.
When at the midpoint, I guess, or whenever, when the student decides to go off and get married to her boyfriend, that kind of forces the older sister to start taking action to make herself known at the school, isn't that when she starts dressing
right.
in a red dress or whatever and puts it on to make it? It's
like, right, and that's a specific actions that have followed somebody else's decision. One of the family members. Okay, that's a pretty explicit one. All right, well, cool. Let's look over at the chart and see if we can identify the four through lines and match them to the domains. So we have our, let's just start with the overall story. Now this is going to be dealing with everybody. And we have anybody, and that's, so think of the family members, but also think of all the other characters in the story, like, well, all the partners, all
Chef
of the,
Uncle Wen,
and the auntie, whatever her name is, Liang, and all the other, the kid, all those other characters. So the girlfriend at Wendy's whose boyfriend she steals, so what domain do you see that as being in? Any
manipulation?
Okay.
Seems like there's a fair amount of manipulating going on, especially with I don't remember her name, but the woman from the States who's coming back.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Auntie Leung?
Yeah.
Yeah, the smoking suitor, basically.
huge effort there to get her to become, you know, the next wife of the father.
Oh, what about the the student daughter's best friend who's manipulating the boy? Guy. It's like,
and the boy's like reading Dostoevsky, and that's the psychology, if there anything.
All the kids and her students are manipulating her to think that there's somebody who's actually
in
love with her. I mean, that seems to be like.
And the father's domination of the family is all about, and their resistance to it is all about manipulation and the resistance to being manipulated and
trying to figure out how to maneuver through that without just overtly hurting people, you know, hurting each other. So that's why it gets so complicated and
It's you know, again, I think manipulation is a little too narrow. Psychology is a broader, and so you talk about psychological games and, you know, game playing. I think you see a lot of that in those terms.
I love it. He's not a Christian. Oh, he will be.
even though there was activity in the movie, the story was a psychological story.
Right. And one of the things that you get is when you have dysfunctional family stories, they're almost always in the psychology domain, the manipulation domain, almost always. Because you find terms like, you know, rationalization, commitment, responsibility, obligation, you know, state of being, situation, sense of self, permission, need, deficiency. You know, a lot of those kinds of words seem to come up a lot, those concepts, a lot when you're dealing with family
relationships,
yeah. So, okay, everybody seemed to be comfortable with that. Well, that would mean that the relationship between mother, daughter and father is an activity, which would be, what activity?
Cooking.
Bicycling.
Voila. Bicycling, that's it. Yeah, cooking. And that's where you get all the activity stuff and the conflict over what are you doing? How are you doing that? All that, you know, learning, understanding, all that kind of stuff you're going to see in the back and forth between the tension in the father between the father and the daughter, which is ultimately resolved at the very last scene where that tension is evaporated. That's you know, it's a relationship that's strained, that grows, and then the strain disappears. So, which is, you know, sort of like a happy ending in a relationship thrilling. Not quite the same thing, but
I thought it was cool that he didn't do his little ram it down the throat of the fish. You know, while it's alive, trick. Yeah, I didn't do it the second time.
Right.
That or was, I didn't complete it.
Yeah, I didn't have to watch it sort of still breathing. And
whatever. I mean, that showed some kind of change in
film. I think that was a change in the filmmaker. Editing. We don't need to show that. We've already shown it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that means our relationship through a line, the subjective story would be an activity. And it would put our main character in a situation, but she's the executive.
Her status, like she's obviously stands out from the rest of her family because she's extremely successful.
Successful and alone.
Yeah.
You know, and
she's the odd man out in the family.
She's a solo flyer. I mean, really, like her father is. You know, he's part of a group and stuff, but he really does understand. Oh, I've got to stand out, but which puts, of course, Dad over here in fixed attitude, and I think that's a very, very strong one. He definitely has a way of seeing the world that creates conflict for the main character. You know, women don't cook. You know, women are this, and they aren't that. Period. So, well, that's pretty.
Easy.
We have Sunday dinner as a family, always. That's, you know.
Right. Which, of course, is one of the other indications that he has changed, is that the Sunday dinner, where everybody's there, is no longer, that commitment is
so
over.
So fixed.
Yeah. It becomes optional, because everybody's off with their own families now. It's not just this lonesome core of four individuals who are sort of locked together against the world. Okay, cool. Well, let's now move on to the concerns. Anybody have a... Oh, Jim, yes.
I have one that's killing me.
Yep. Oh, excellent.
Extremely wrong. subjective story for understanding, mainly because of the thematic stuff underneath, but...
Which are
just, which would be
instinct, senses, well...
Which is taste.
Yeah.
The interpretation and condition. What she thinks her father thinks of her. The instinct, because they both have competing instincts to cook. They both have that within them. And then the conditioning, where she's, you know, conditioned to do what her father says. You know, there's all that in between father and daughter kind of thematic thing. And then if it's understanding, it could even be just that there's this misunderstanding between the two of them, or that they can't come to an understanding that she's just as worthy as him in the kitchen. And then at the end, when they come together, it's beautiful.
Okay.
So that's, and then it's
everybody crazy. Okay with that?
Yeah. Well, and then on the other side, you have sense of self, like you were saying, how everybody has to figure out a way to be themselves or something like that. That versus who they really are, the situation of everybody around and the circumstances involved with
the emotional.
Everybody feels
right. You get that's like the auntie and the child and all of the.
So you're agreeing with what we said.
Well, he's just said it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's completely. He's actually using your example to support what he was saying.
And also developing, because to me the sort of the plop concern is trying to
How do we make this work?
How do we make our life? In each person's case, it's like, you know, trying to conceptualize how we're going to get alive. You know, get our own lives.
Keep the family
right
surviving, and that way eventually figure out a way to make it work.
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely not a physical thing. It's definitely a plan, a logistics. Let's get our head around it.
It's not very smooth, but that's their concern.
Right.
You know, they kind of approach it in fits and starts, but they're always concerned about that.
Which would put Chef Chu, Dad, over here in Memories with Truth, Falsehood, Evidence, and Suspicion. Where do we see that? How do we see examples of that?
Well, the truth and falsehood, he never really gets out the truth till the very end. I mean, he was trying to announce it at the beginning meal, but he never really got it out.
Was he really?
Yeah, he had an announcement. He was going to say, I'm going to sell the house.
At the
beginning.
At the end he says, I've been trying to do this.
Right, he goes,
forever.
I haven't been trying to hide anything from anybody.
No, don't you remember?
Which he has really been.
He started to say it, and then he just kept getting interrupted, and then
he got the phone call, and he had to rush to the restaurant.
Yeah, but he was going to announce it then, but then the whole movie happened, and then he announced it. And by then she was,
he says, I didn't.
True.
And his best friend sort of represents the past part, you know, the memories, you know, and also.
That's true because the memories come out in the conversation between the girl and Uncle Wynn.
Yeah.
That's where all the memories really were illustrated.
Yeah.
So he was the mouthpiece for the father who could not really speak for himself at that point.
And also, he is the keeper of the memory of the wife of the home. Yeah, and
of
which
all
is
the pictures of all yeah, the
which is what why he's so. Concerned about this, but at the end when he comes back to the house and then he doesn't use the key, it's no longer his house. So memories are pretty much almost all gone. Not complete, because walking in, he looks at this stuff and is like, oh, it's not quite the way it was. So there's a little bit of that, but of course it's not resolved yet. He hasn't worked out the last little bit with his daughter.
The last time for him is thick with memories.
Right.
You know, so that's probably the fourth signpost.
We will see, won't we? Okay, and then past for our main character, dealing with fate, destiny. In fact, there's a conversation about
that's what
that.
I was going to wonder. Isn't there one part where the negotiator, that she was romantically involved with, it seemed like he had some kind of impact character sort of stuff where she was bringing up the past? And he was saying, well, remember,
yes,
this is the way things were. I didn't know if there was some little hand.
Well, I think there was, because basically Dad disappears for a big chunk of time during that, and I think you also get a little bit of her, of Uncle Wen sort of acting a little bit as past for Chu's, you know, memories. Mm-hmm. You know, he used to be this, you know, he used to be really great and all this stuff, and we used to be the best team and all that kind of stuff. So
I think even, and then the negotiator even say, I used to be a lot like you, or...
Yeah, there is that little... I do think that there was a little handoff for that, like the second act or something like that. There's a little period of time where they both sort of, where everybody sort of goes off on their own in the overall story, and then you have those two little...
But I think that her concern is the, okay, it's that she was not allowed to cook, she was not allowed to be in the kitchen, her father sent her to college, to business school. All it was this whole past that got her to where she is,
and she resents it.
Yeah, and that's just
bottom line. She understands it; it's important, she resents it.
Well, and she's still, you know, basically lovers with her ex-husband, right? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of dragging the past around with you.
That's right. True.
Big time.
Yeah.
You know.
Are we speaking from experience? Never mind. Okay, well, cool. Let's turn on the computer then, and we'll get down to the last little bits. So here we're down to 16 story forms. Our main character through line is situation. Our impact character through line is fixed attitude. Relationship through line is activity. And our overall story is a manipulation. We have chosen developing a plan as the overall story concern, which gives us memories as the impact characters, understanding as the relationship concern, and the past as our main character concern. So let's go down a level. And so now we have a choice between state of being, sense of self, situation, and circumstances, one of which will be our thematic issue in the overall story. I'm going to go down so you can see all of the elements underneath. So the question is, I already see some that look pretty good, which group of four elements are going to be the best describing the problem, solution, symptom, and response? We have, under state of being, we've got knowledge, thought, inertia, and change. Under situation, we've got chaos, order, actuality, perception. Under circumstances, aware, self-aware, equity, inequity. And under sense of self, ability, desire, projection, and speculation. Weren't we here last month?
We were here last week with her story.
Okay.
It's interesting.
It's good.
Yeah, what did we do last month? What was that? On the waterfront?
Yeah, we were down in this area last time.
Because honestly, and this may be an effect of still having my mind in her story, but inertia is the one that jumps out at me as being the problem.
Well, if it is, then it's almost exactly the same
right.
as on the waterfront. That was a change bank character, though. But
I narrowed down. In my view, to narrow it down to two things, it'd be either inertia or desire.
Desire's over here.
With under sense of self.
Anybody else?
And what are we asking ourselves? What are we?
What is the problem? What is the thing that's causing the conflict between all of the relationships?
I think it's desire.
Desire.
All of them want something.
Well, sure. I mean, an inequity will give you a lack, which means there's something you require. Well, if you look at the definition, the motivation towards something better, I mean, each one of them are really looking for that very specifically. But is that the solution or is that the problem? Is that causing conflict or is that resolving conflict?
Well, okay.
I don't know. I'm not trying to lead. That's literally just a question.
I think it's a problem. It
is causing the problem.
And how? How do we see that?
Because they don't know how to to get to this desire without hurting the people around them.
Well, okay, but also it may be that ability,
I mean, actually,
or lack of ability. It could be that ability is a problem because, okay, the Christian girl seems to be completely unable to get, you know, a lover, a boyfriend.
Well, very quickly.
Yeah, but does ability solve the desire then?
Or does desire, solve the ability?
The lack of ability.
There's this moment of desire. She's crying, and then the volleyball coach comes in, and then they have this intense moment of desire, and that seems to resolve her little through line.
Right. Well, whereas it looks like, I mean, if you had, that would place ability as the problem.
Right. I mean, she gets the object of her desire. I mean, she desires a guy on the motorcycle, right? But what girl doesn't, right? So when she gets the object of her desire, her through line is resolved, right?
Well, I think.
No.
And she's being the.
I think you were right when you picked inertia and change. But, I mean, if you take the overall story, the inertia is things are the way we are, and that's what's causing the problem for everybody. They've been this way for so long, and we're outgrowing it. And change is the solution. Everyone changes and resolves something by changing.
But the whole house changes.
The whole house, it empties.
Mm-hmm.
The father changes, the restaurant guy dies, everybody gets a different job, a different maid, a different...
Yeah, but look at what causes trouble. I mean, again, let's break it out past, keep away from the father and the executive daughter, because
everybody.
Look at everybody else. If you look at what causes trouble with youngest daughter, there's no problem until suddenly the boyfriend is now available. Now she's able. The ability is there, and so she goes for it, and that creates conflict with her
friend,
she gets pregnant. you know, it's kind of like, uh-oh, suddenly there's just too able, and you've got the one thing about the other sister, the eldest sister, the Christian teacher, is that here's someone who is, is like right there, really close, and seems to be available. You know, she's certainly imagining it more so because the kids are making it worse.
Really, and in her case, her desires are repressed.
Right.
In her case, until she lets them go, and that's where the solution would be desire for her.
Right.
Sorry, go ahead. I interrupted you.
And you have the auntie who's, again, she's here. I'm your age. I can do, you know, and look at the conflict for the main character. Now, whether the question is this the problem solution or the focus of the direction? I mean, the impact character, the impact character, his abilities are failing.
Right.
And since it's a steadfast story, the impact character would share the problem with the overall story. So
he's
the change character. So his abilities, him, you know, literally him being unable to taste, that would fall right into that.
Can I just make another suggestion?
Of course.
I mean, I like all those, which makes me think I'm completely wrong. But what about, like, perception and actuality, where perception causing the problem with the chemistry teacher, you know, her perception that somebody's writing love letters to her?
But the actuality isn't a problem because...
Well, the actuality is a solution.
Right, but I mean... The perception isn't a problem that he does like her. There's the.
But it's her. Okay, I see what you're saying.
You see, it's not. If he really didn't care for her, then I'd say that absolutely could fall in for it. But I think the clearest one is you look at the youngest daughter. That's not a perception actuality thing. Well, there's a little bit of that.
But see, then what about with the when she catches him in the hospital and she thinks he's dying? She thinks the big announcement's going to be, I mean, I thought he was going to say, you know, I'm dying or something's going to happen, and then in the actuality, what's really going on is revealed, and that's what brings the story to a close.
Right, but...
That's what I...
So how do we know that he wasn't in there to try to become more virile,
we found out basically he was there to get a clean bill of health so he could give it to her mother, his future mother-in-law, and that's what he had the paper. See, I'll be a good husband. I'm not going to be dying anytime soon. And so please give me the blessing so that I can marry your niece. Was it a niece or daughter?
Daughter.
It was a daughter. Okay. So her daughter.
She was thinking that she was getting it because he's telling her, look, I'm healthy. We can get married.
Right. It's my blood test.
That was
family splitting apart.
Pardon me?
So if their family's splitting apart, the thematic issue of situation, how the situation is changing, is more the thematic issue. And then they're more focused on order. They think the problem is that everything's falling apart or they can't keep everything together and orderly. And everybody seems to be moving off into completely random things, like the daughter's getting pregnant. And she gets all dressed up and looking good in school. It's like a completely just to see what'll happen, like a chaotic event, just to walk out there and see what happens.
So you're saying that order would be the
focus.
So would be the symptom? Yeah. So they think that when things are ordered, it's causing trouble?
The lack of order. Like they're losing the order, or the order is, it's not there the way that they're used to. It's because the situation changes.
Okay. Well, any other thoughts? Because we can certainly try these.
Order and chaos are actually pretty good, just because in the sense that, okay, her getting pregnant is an example of chaos. The oldest girl, the Christian girl's sudden, kissing him and going off on a motorcycle kind of represents chaos compared to her extremely ordered. I mean, she dresses up, and puts on makeup, where before she was, a repressed little church lady. So she went from order to chaos.
Which, this is being the solution, symptom?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Then how would you show me with Master Chef Chu, what would his problem be? How would you show his problem be there?
Well, he's got two.
He's perceived as like this great strong man.
Well, he's led a very ordered life. I mean, he's obviously the way he cooks, the way he takes control of the kitchen and which is a good thing, except in the context of the story, it's kind of, he's kind of losing his sensations as a result of this, years of orderliness. And it's when he sort of lets go and marries the younger woman, gets her pregnant, he starts to live again, he starts to get those sensations back. So that's another example of where chaos has, a relative degree of chaos has addressed the problems created by too much order. So I can see that argument.
Okay, so if we're here looking over in memories, so chaos and order are with inertia and change in the main character.
No, that's it.
Well,
Impact character. Oh, about Chu. So this would be in the. So if we were talking about order and chaos as symptom and response, then that we would actually be over where the problem was. What? Right. Let me see. I'm getting confused. All right. Actuality, perception, order, chaos. Perception being the problem, actuality being the solution. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I had said.
Well, let's try it. Let's just try it. That's the nice thing about it. We can always undo it. Brings us down to a single story form. And let's look at this report. And we'll go to the story engine settings. All right. So this means it's a start story, which would be in line with the whole idea of lack, because that's been sort of the argument about some of the things, the lack of blank, blank, blank. Okay. Our overall story then, the problem is...
Who's starting? Who's starting?
I'm sorry?
You said it's a start story?
Start. Yeah, start, it means in the growth, the nature of the growth is that something needs to grow, you need to grow into, you need to start doing something Yeah. Or in a...
The main character?
The main character. But you're going to see a sense of, thematically, it will affect how things look in the story. So, for instance, this is going to be the main character's waiting for something to start. It's a steadfast character, main character, so she's going to be waiting for something external to begin, as opposed to something external to end. And I think that sounds pretty accurate compared to, you know, where we... You know, where we see her.
Yeah, she's waiting for her father to open up to her.
Right.
She's not waiting.
She's holding out for it to start. Right. Not. She's not holding out against something bad that's happening.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So that's a good sign. At least we're in the right direction. We didn't pick that one directly. Okay. The overall story we have we picked perception as the problem, actuality. So in each instance. Once you get when you look at how things appear to be, with the sister who goes after the boyfriend who looked like the girlfriend was not interested but she really was interested, so that causes all this conflict between her and her friend and the boyfriend and all that. Whereas in reality, I mean, those two really needed to be together. They're the ones who are attracted to one another.
That looks good.
And then you've got the teacher. Who, with the perception, the argument that you were saying, with the perception of that the guy is after her, and when really she's the one who, when she just goes, I'm actually interested, I'm going to step forward, and of course he's responsive to it, and that works great. The letters were not really from him, they were from the students. What about the perception actuality with, I think with even Uncle Chen. You've got, you know, he seems like everything's just fine, and then, of course, then he crumps out. The reality is he's on his last leg.
That was bizarre. that he sat
soup
down
is just too spicy. So we have is the symptom is order, which meaning things are too ordered, and people are fighting that. They're finding it, you know, we have to be there every Sunday, and then this is crimping my style. You know, I have all these things. So let me, another way of thinking of chaos is sort of freedom, you know, random, you know, let it sort of.
Oh, one problem of perception we didn't cover was Liang.
Mrs. Liang, right.
Right.
Auntie Liang
thinking that. They were clicking.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So the catalyst is the sense of self.
Yeah,
so when people.
Good.
Either have a low sense of self or, in some cases, a very high sense of self, that, like Mrs. Liang, that moves the story, the conflict, greater.
Very good.
Whereas suspicions, when everybody thinks somebody suspects something, that sort of slows things down.
Well, the sense of self really plays into the Christian girls. Huge catalyst moment was we already know she had a problem with cats outside and noise outside.
Yes.
But right, and so
when
she puts those speakers out there, because there's these other lovers out there who are like always singing karaoke music, right? And so she tries to drown them out, and then so it's like all these pressures are on her sense of self, and she just kind of explodes at that moment, and it's a big catalyst moment. Mm-hmm.
Well, see, even the order and chaos is perfect for her.
Because
she's Christian, the little white shirt, the little skirt, the music, and then when she lets go into the chaos, that's what she gets, what she wants.
Right.
She's Sandy and Grease. So.
Okay, let's look at the relationship through line. I think you're right. There's some really good stuff here.
Yeah.
We have activity, which we were talking about, and understanding. Remember, this is about eating and food and understanding, you know, how to do it right and not misunderstanding.
Well, but misunderstanding then when she sees him in the hospital at the cardiology department.
Right.
I didn't connect that, but yeah, that's...
And then, of course, we have the senses versus interpretation, which is a great, you know, that was the natural pick if we'd want to go that way. We talked about that already, but that sounds like a perfect, you know, with the touch, taste, smell, particularly taste. The problem between them, which of course, since it's a, well, I guess we'd have to figure out if it's a, Yeah, okay. So inequity, a sense of unfairness exists at the root of the conflict in their relationship that ultimately is resolved at the end with equity, fairness. Right, so he's treating her fairly now.
Right.
Rather than, you know, you always, and then he goes, gosh, you know, I can taste, and I'd like some more. And so it's sort of like, okay, now we're back on balance. But really, if you talk about what they would be focused on, again, it's the order versus chaos, and, you know, if you look at, even in the way that they prepare the foods, it's almost like it's very chaotic seeming, but that's actually when it's working right. When it's too ordered, too structured, then it seems to fall apart. Catalysts of conditioning, perfect. Yeah, I think that's perfect, a great, great description of what creates friction between the two of them. How she's supposed to behave a certain way because that's, you know, her, or when she finds herself behaving a certain way, or the two of them interacting the way they've always interacted, creates conflict. Interdiction, where do we see that as an inhibitor in the relationship?
What is interdiction?
Interdiction is, let me just put it through the vocabulary on there. I'll show you the short definition so I don't have to be clever on the spot. Interdiction is the predetermined course. Well, actually, you see her trying to do that constantly. In other words, and this is the inhibitor, so it's going to slow the relationship down, the friction in the relationship.
Well, that's her identity in the beginning. When she's adamant
Nothing comes to mind right off the top of my head. This is the relationship. Main versus impact character through line. So it's in their relationship.
When they try to interfere with what's been going on all the time, is the inhibitor?
Correct. So let's come back to that. Okay, here's our impact character. So this is talking about Chu. Fixed attitude, memories, truth versus falsehood, which that speech he says at the end, it's very funny because he says, the whole thing at the end is that I haven't said anything that's wrong, and I've been meaning to say this, but it's not a lie. And just sort of like, well, the fact that you're pointing this out sort of makes it very suspect. Mm-hmm. But I mean, his last, you know, talk at the dinner in front of everybody, it almost encompasses this thematic argument. Problem perception.
I think that's good
for him. I think that's he's going on how things appear to be as opposed to what they really are, and that's where he changes, since he's the change character. He sees knowledge as being, you know, maybe a lack of knowledge is being a problem, whereas you need to think more about it or be more thoughtful would solve things. Unique ability is falsehood. Where do we see that? This would be his effect, what makes him uniquely suited to have an impact on the main character. No, but he's right. He's undermined. This isn't quite as effective as it could be.
Well,
but
he makes her very sympathetic toward him through the movie out of false impressions you know, she thinks he's sick and dying. I mean, she makes all these he's falling apart assumptions, and what he's really about is, I'm going to prove
the ultimate falsehood for her is that she decides not to go to Amsterdam and decides not to do a lot of things because
she's going
to
take care of him,
right. Well, and she doesn't know that he's already being taken care of.
So to speak, nudge. Okay. Okay, and where is our main character? Main character is up at the top.
What was
okay.
The other one was circumstances. That was his critical flaw, circumstances. Well, okay. The critical flaw, circumstances for him is the family circumstances, the circumstances that keep him from, you know,
doing what he wants.
Well, yeah, just saying out loud what, it's a whole bunch of circumstances that keep him from just saying, here's what's going on.
Yeah, but he set them all in motion himself.
Sure.
I mean, he said what?
He set them all in motion. He set up this whole circumstance that everybody now is trying to behave by at the table, you know, even though they don't like it. I mean, he set it up in such a way that he couldn't just blurt out what he needed.
Yep. Well, and look what we have as the benchmark. It's great. Impulsive responses.
Yeah.
You know, at the beginning, everything's very controlled and such.
Right.
And by the end, you know, they're jumping around. He cuts into the melon, and he's, you know, gets drunk, and so he's like he's much more responsive to stimuli rather than just sort of being very controlled. So I mean, that's a pretty good one.
I think that his critical flaw of circumstances mean he's not. Basically reacting well or reacting honestly to the circumstances or just dealing with them properly.
But
you know, I think that he's right, because he even says it, the order versus the chaos, when he says that his life is not like when he cooks, that he has to wait for certain things to be ready to be able to cook. Life just comes.
Right.
Right.
And so,
really,
yeah, you're right.
No, that's a perfect example.
Yeah. That he had actually mentioned it wasn't like his cooking, which was ordered. It was better when
it
was chaotic.
What is your name?
That's Jim.
Oh, I'm Jim.
Jim, see, you were right.
See,
right.
He was right. Bye.
But see, I said I might be wrong, so if I was
Tuesday,
wrong.
I don't think we're going to, not unless somebody brings a project real soon, and I don't think we'll have a meeting next week.
Okay. Email. Bye.
Bye.
See you next month.
See you in a month, yeah.
Alrighty, so here we've got our last area here is our main character situation, the past. She's talking about fate versus destiny, which I think is, I mean, there are several conversations that even talk about, you know,
right,
with her, with fate, particularly with work and home. But then you've got her problem.
Is she destined for Amsterdam or not?
Right.
You know,
I mean, the translation uses some of those exact words. It's kind of like,
you know, she destined to just be the only daughter left at the in the house with her father.
Right.
Who's
and, of course,
on?
You've got her. She's a steadfast character.
Yeah.
Right. She's a steadfast character, so the problem is going to be more like her drive as thought. She's clearly driven because of, you know, she thinks about things and what she thinks about. I mean, what she thinks gets her going. You know, she can't just let something go. If she's thinking about it, it's like, okay, I've got it. It motivates her. It drives. I can't go home. I've got to work on this because I've got to think this, you know, through more. I don't think it's, you know, it's not thought through fully. And everybody's saying, "Oh, that's really, really well, you know, thought out," and that sort of gets her all going. Whereas she's very the symptom of order again. Personally, she finds it very constraining, and she likes to mix it up a little bit. Which is why I think, you know, she wants to try to have, you know, the fair or whatever. It's just things are not. She doesn't want them just to be as regulated, something a little bit more.
It's like she has a dual life a little bit there for a while. You know, she's like...
I think to her, the orderliness of the corporate environment is kind of restrictive to her. She doesn't really fit in. She may be capable, but I don't think she personally fits into that environment.
No.
But,
I think she needs to be the chef of her new restaurant.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing.
And so we have our main, our unique ability of destiny, again, sort of a double dose of that, you know, where the thing that would makes her, and as destiny, let me just show you
those usually come out the same for the main character?
Pardon?
Those two things usually come out
no.
the same?
No, they mostly don't. Yes,
they can.
They mostly don't, but they can.
Okay.
The destiny is the future path an individual must take. So this is sort of the thing that's sort of planned out for her. And so for her, that is her unique ability. She's got a path that she has to take, and that just happens to be one that will allow the family to fall apart, to split up, and yet still remain whole. And I think that is that she basically probably wants to, you know, she wants to pick up the cooking. That's sort of like from a child, she's wanted that path.
She always took out after her father. And that's kind of her fulfillment, is to just kind of become her father.
Right.
And he wouldn't allow her. But, you know, but she's kind of destined to be the father of the family.
The head of the family.
Right?
Because he's starting his own new family, too. And a critical flaw of interpretation, well, you see that again with the misinterpreting what the report is and misinterpreting people's signals as to whether they're serious about a relationship or not, or... Mm-hmm.
Well, right. I mean, she... It's not her fault, but she misinterpreted the whole situation between her sister and that other guy.
Right. I think this is a really strong...
Oh, things are changing.
A really strong story form. Well, good.
Well, is there benchmark? Do you see progress in terms of her work? In terms of, you know... Well, and it's an issue for her because while her sisters are suddenly making this... their progress, quick progress, sudden progress in their own lives, she's not. It's sort of... There comes a point when it's a lack of progress that becomes... kind of up front.
I think the four signposts are in the right order too for her. Right.
The future, the past, how things are changing, and then the present. Yeah.
The objective story ones are really nice.
Yeah, the object. Overall story, we have developing a plan, playing a role, changing one's nature, and then conceiving an idea. Oh, that's, yeah, conceiving an idea is the act four. You know, it's sort of, especially with that's the big announcement at the end. I got this idea. Everybody needs to get on board with it, and that is I'm selling the house. Actually, but everybody's kind of like, you know, I'm going to be leaving. You know, I'm going to be leaving. No, I'm going to be leaving. So it's sort of everybody comes up with sort of the same idea, just but independently.
So. 2 and 3, like signpost 2 being like the young student, which is pretending to be, which is hanging out with that guy that her friend is supposedly into, and then switching into becoming like when the same example, but
right.
She's changing who she is.
No, it really flows in nicely. Okay, well, that's, I guess, it. This podcast was brought to you by Wright Brothers, creators of software for writers since 1982. Visit us at www.screenplay.com and www.dramatica.com.